Well, folks, welcome to Sands, episode 11. I'm Jared Reimer. We have quite a bit for you today. In fact, we have another one of these. Holy crap, I can't believe I'm reading this right. And if you listen to the last episode, you'll kind of know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you don't, and you're new to the program, this is the Sands newsletter that is freely available, and what this podcast intends to do is let you know what is covered in the newsletter, and we put our own spin on it. So that is the basis of what the podcast is. So now, let's get started. And this is, as I said, episode 11. This is Sands News Bites, annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. April 29th, 2025, volume 27, number 33. And here is the table of contents for this episode. And we're going to start with top of the news. SAP patches NetWeaver. Critical unrestricted file upload vulnerability. The next item is mobile USB security potentially vulnerable to malicious chargers. And this is actually an interesting one because it talks about a new type of attack. But is it real? Well, we don't know. But there isn't anything in the wild as of yet. The last item in top of the news is power outage in Portugal, Spain, and parts of France. And from what we can gather of that, it was possibly a cyber attack. Now here is the rest of the week's news. Marks and Spencer pauses online orders, cancels agency shifts. African Telecom MTN Group cybersecurity incident compromised customer data. The third item, VeriSource breach affects 4 million individuals. Abilene, Texas temporarily suspends Public Information Act requirements following cyber incident. Phishing campaign lures WooCommerce users with phony patch. Former Disney employee sentenced to prison for violating U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And that is your table of contents. Let me give you my contact information if you would like to leave comments. Email or iMessage jaredrimer at 986themix.com or tech, that's TECH, at menvi.org. That's Mike Echo November victorindia.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And if you would like to leave a message on the voicemail line, that is 888-405-7524. Now, let's get started with top of the news. The first item is SAP patches NetWeaver critical unrestricted file upload vulnerability. German enterprise software company Systemalis Programmierung SAP, and by the way, this is spelled PROGRAMMENTWISCKLUNG, has issued an emergency patch for a vulnerability in SAP NetWeaver Visual Composer Framework 7.50 after researchers from ReliaQuest discovered the flaw under exploitation. CVE 2025-31324, CVSS score 10.0, allows an unauthenticated agent to compromise the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of a system by uploading malicious executable binaries due to a missing authorization check in the SAP NetWeaver Visual Composer Metadata Uploader component. While SAP has made statements disputing successful exploitation, OnAppsys and Watchtower have also confirmed active exploitation, observing attackers using the vulnerability to drop web shell backdoors onto vulnerable systems. SAP's April 2025 patch day update release does not include the fix for CVE 2025-31324, so users must apply the separately released update, or if updates are not possible, take mitigation measures. Disable Visual Composer. Disable the application alias developers. Forward SAP NetWeaver logs to a centralized system and review the suspicious files. ReliaQuest notes, SAP solutions are often used by government agencies and enterprises, making them high-value targets for attackers. And I will just say this. I don't believe any of our users are using such a tool, but as I've always said in the podcasts that I do, knowledge is power. If you know people who might be using such things, then it would behoove you to go ahead and make sure that they know that this is a problem. And I haven't read any articles on the subject, but it wouldn't surprise me if one is out there. CVSS, the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, has a score from 0.0 to 10, and this is the highest it is. And this means that anyone can basically take over an account or device without you having to do anything. I would suspect that the program has to be running at least, but based on what I've understood of all of this, you really don't have to do much, but I believe that the program at least has to be running, or they have to get you to do something with the program that you may not question. Mobile USB security potentially vulnerable to malicious chargers. In a forthcoming paper, researchers from Austria's Graz University of Technology demonstrate three means of bypassing mobile devices USB security meant to defend against a malicious charger connection successfully accessing files or achieving code execution on iOS and Android devices from 8 major vendors, with 2 cases even allowing file extraction from locked devices. Dubbed choice jacking, after Brian Krebs's 2011 coined term juice jacking for malicious USB charger attacks, the researchers' attack techniques are effective against the standard juice jacking mitigation of requiring user consent to establish a data connection. The paper states that the researchers' presentation of multiple attack techniques intends to provoke a more holistic way of thinking about dual role USB and connectivity adversaries in mobile platforms. The researchers suggest existing mitigations such as USB data blockers, user authentication for critical security functions, and lockdown mode, and they urge the creation of consent prompts for USB and accessory input devices, stating that default trust in USB input devices and accessories needs to be cut. Devices running Android 15 and later, and iOS/iPadOS 18.4 and later include updated confirmation dialogues requiring additional authentication. Dan Gooden of Ars Technica notes that there have been no documented cases of juice jacking nor choice jacking in the wild, and While I understand and believe that Dan is correct in this instance only because he would know more than I would, it seems to me that even though these are theoretical issues, that this should be taken seriously. And if you are not at least on 18.4 or Android 15, you should at least be on that. This is not about the accessibility of the phone and what works best for you. This is about protecting you from potential harm from plugging in from a device that may not be trusted. And, as stated in the newsletter, batteries these days last a long time, and my 11, even though I'm on my second battery, can practically still go an entire day without needing to be charged unless I'm using a focused app that seems to take a lot of battery, like Jacket FM as an example. I'm not blaming Jacket FM per se, but this is one of those types of apps that use quite a bit of battery. There are probably others that do the same thing, and they should be mindful of battery usage. And while Jacket FM is relatively new, other apps have made an effort to try and deal with the battery consumption issue. I'm sure over time, Jacket FM will eventually do that. And speaking of which, this podcast network will be doing an updated demo of the program, as it has changed quite a bit since we did the initial review. Let's go ahead and move on, and if you have any comments, of course, please feel free to let us know. Our next item in the news is dealing with the power outage in Portugal, Spain, and parts of France. The governments of Spain and Portugal have declared state of emergency following a massive power outage affecting the Iberian Peninsula on Monday, April 28th. While there is no clear answer as to what caused the outage in Spain, Portugal and parts of France, former Portuguese Prime Minister and current European Council President Pedro Sanchez said there is no indication that it was due to a cyber attack. Power is returning in some of the affected areas. The outage disrupted train, metro, and airport services. Hospitals have been relying on emergency generators. And based on the comments that I have read, I guess people were quick to say that this was a cyber attack. But one of the comments did say that there was a 15 gigawatt drop. And it seems like because of that, in, let's say, a 45-second period or less, the power system shut down gracefully to protect systems from a catastrophic failure. And because they'd been able to get power up quickly, and at the time of writing they said that most should be up, but there may be some other delays and rebookings of flights and other things of that nature. I'll say that if you are listening to me and you were affected by it, I would be interested to hear what you've heard from the country or countries where you were, so that we can better understand what's gone on. I personally have not read any articles on the subject, but it sounds like with that much of a surge, it protected itself from a bigger problem, and that is a good thing. Email, iMessage, TECH at M as in Mike, E N as in November, victorindia.org, or JAREDRIMER at 986themix.com. And we will be happy to hear what you have to say in regards to this. Or you can use a program that allows toll-free calling and call 888-405-7524. I want to take a moment now and remind you that Skype will officially be going away either on the 4th or the 5th. And while the Teams integration is simple enough, Teams does not allow you to do outbound dialing. It only allows you to communicate with people who are already on Teams. I don't know how much I'm going to use it, and I honestly don't know exactly what username I will have to give. So if anyone knows any different, let me know. And I know that Skype recently popped up a message on my phone with an FAQ, and I'll try and make sure and get on and read that. Here is the rest of the week's news. We're going to start with the UK story, which Nicholas Jackson said he was familiar of who these guys were, just by name. This is an update on the Marks and Spencer item, and this is Marks and Spencer pauses online orders, cancels agency shifts. On April 25th, 2025, UK retailer Marks and Spencer, M&S, posted a further update on the cyber incident reported April 22, 2025. The company states that in addition to the suspension of click and collect orders and contactless payments, they have now made the decision to pause taking orders via the, in brackets, M&S.com website and apps. That whole thing's in a phrase. Though the website remains up for browsing and stores remain open, the company is continuing to investigate and restore online and app shopping and will modify updates, but what it really says is notify customers if any action is required on their part. And I should just say that they'll probably modify their updates accordingly, as they've been doing all along. And I'll talk about what I read as one of the comments, which I agree to. Additionally, they continue, about 200 agency employed M&S employees at the Castle Donington Clothing and Homewares Logistics Center have had their work shifts canceled. The nature and full scope of the incident have not been disclosed. And what I will say, and what they have said, is that Marks and Spencer is doing everything right. They're keeping everybody informed. They're putting their stuff out as press releases, but they are keeping the public informed, and major companies should take a bite out of this company's playbook and use it. I can't agree more. And while from time to time, as I started this podcast, we've had decided to take some editors' comments, I feel that I don't want to take all of the editors' comments, because then I would be reading the newsletter word for word without adding my own spin to it. And then I could be in copyright violation. So, I did in those episodes indicate that I'm going to read what they've written, and I've limited what I'm putting into my copy so that the podcast can coexist. With that being said, Sans is the copyright of this newsletter, and I've made sure to give those people who've been credited, if I do read them, the credit where credit is due for those comments. So some of the comments that have been raised in this have indicated that people should take from this company's playbook, and they should take from mine. While there hasn't been an incident as of late, every time we've had an incident, we have published a blog post on the tech blog in regards to this, and we want to make sure that this is something that we need to deal with. So take advantage of learning what good companies do when they have some sort of incident, even if it doesn't mean much. We'll continue to worry, not necessarily, but keep up with what's going on with Marks. African Telecom, MTN Group, cybersecurity incident compromised customer data. Johannesburg-based telecommunications company MTN Group disclosed a cybersecurity incident that resulted in unauthorized access to personal information of some MTN customers in certain markets. MTN says their billing and financial infrastructure appears to be unaffected. The company has reported the incident to law enforcement and is supporting their investigations. MTN has approximately 288 million customers in more than 20 countries. Keep us posted, Sans, because I'm curious to find out what's really going on. VeriSource breach affects 4 million individuals. And if I remember correctly, this is the one that I thought I was completely reading wrong. Houston-based employee benefits administrator VeriSource Services has begun notifying 4 million individuals that their personal information was compromised in a February 2024 breach. Yes, February 2024. And maybe now that I'm reading this, this would have been the perfect item to have the editorial team speak, because what they had to say is actually very interesting, and I'll try and do my best to rehash what they said. But if I'm wrong, then look at the newsletter in the show notes and make sure that you correct the record. In an August 2024 filing with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights, HHS OCR, VeriSource said the incident affected about 112,000 individuals. In a notification filed earlier this month with the Maine Attorney General, the number of affected individuals was listed as 4 million. VeriSource said it took them until the middle of April to determine who was affected by the breach. All I'll say is this. I've said this last podcast, and I'll say it again. We should never, ever, ever be waiting a year and change to find out that this is a problem. But seeing that it took this long, and the fact that verification took this long, this may be the norm. But in my honest opinion, I think that this needs to be faster. I understand you want to be thorough in your investigation, but you should take a playbook page out of M&S and update as you know. Notify those that you are aware of that have been impacted when you know it, and continue to send out notifications. Even if you are sending notifications out for an entire year, if the letter you send indicates that we are notifying people as we determine their information has been affected, I'm going to be a happy camper. But when I see stuff like this, where we are just finding out about the breach a year and change later, that doesn't necessarily make me a happy camper. And I don't care what you have to say. You must do better. And I hope that with the next breach, if there is one, you will be notifying your customers and employees and whoever else may be affected by the breach as you are aware of it. Abilene, Texas temporarily suspends Public Information Act requirements. Following cyber incident. In the wake of a cyber incident that rendered servers unresponsive, the city of Abilene, Texas has temporarily suspended Texas State Public Information Act requirements, which, quote, requires government bodies to release information in response to formal requests, end quote. Texas state statute allows a suspension of these requirements in the event of a catastrophe, which is defined as, quote, fire, flood, earthquake, hurricane, tornado, or wind, rain, or snowstorm, power failure, transportation failure, or interruption of communication facilities, epidemic, or riot, civil disturbance, enemy attack, or other actual or threatened act of lawlessness or violence. End of the quote there. And I'll say they were just targeted in more than likely a phishing attack, if I remember the initial story from last week. But I completely understand where they're coming from, as the comments from the newsletter indicated that they basically are putting up an out for lunch sign until they are able to deal with what's going on there in Abilene. Maybe this makes sense. It doesn't to me, but hey, I'm an outsider of the state. What do I know? And this next item just absolutely irritates me to no end. This is why people should be looking at links and seeing where they go instead of just clicking on things. Because this item says, phishing campaign lures WooCommerce users with phony patch. Threat actors are targeting WooCommerce users in a phishing campaign that uses a phony patch as bait. The security alert arrives as an email urging the users to download a patch for a critical, quote, unauthenticated administrative access, end quote, vulnerability. The message exhorts users to visit a malicious site that is disguised as the WooCommerce website using an internationalized domain name, IDN, Homograph attack, which uses characters from other alphabets to appear legitimate. If users download the patch as instructed, the malicious website instead downloads malware that allows the attackers to take control of the user's site. And this is why I say, and they even say, you need to update WooCommerce through the appropriate channels. I believe this may be a WordPress plugin, so use the WordPress plugin facility to make sure that this is up to date. Don't go clicking on a link to download something. And what isn't clear to me just by reading that item, it seems to me that it may be granting authentication to your WooCommerce setup, otherwise just downloading the file wouldn't gain access to anything. So I'm curious on what's really going on. Former Disney employee sentenced to prison for violating U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. And I'll formally say that I need to really pay attention and go through and make sure that the Braille does say U.S. instead of us when doing the transcription. Because if I'm really going to go into this for a living, people may question my ability. And I did know it said U.S. and I fixed it in one place and not the other. Bad. Former Disney employee Michael Schuer has been sentenced to 3 years in prison, quote, for knowingly transmitting a program, code, or command to a protected computer and intentionally causing damage, and for committing aggravated identity theft, end quote. After Schuer was let go from his job as Disney menu production manager, Schuer accessed the company's menu creator application and altered them, removing allergen and pricing information, and in some cases, adding offensive content. Schuer has also been ordered to pay nearly $688,000 in restitution. And if one needs a complete moron of the podcast, Mr. Schuer is definitely it. You should never jeopardize anyone's health concerns for the fact that you were let go from your job. I don't know the circumstances of why you were let go. Just like when I met the CEO of Metro and I told her about why I was coming to these meetings and asked for something and said, I honestly don't think that X person, where X was the person who was involved, should have been let go. She said, you don't know the whole story. I said, you're right, but it's just my opinion. And I left it alone. I don't need to know the whole story, but I do know that said person involved was suing for a whole bunch of money. But again, we don't know why. It's a completely different case than what Mr. Schuer did, but the only difference being that both people, the one I'm talking about here and Mr. Schuer, were fired from their job. The editorial board of Sans News Bites. Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgi, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spencer, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vatranot, and William Hugh Murray. Sands Institute, 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. And you can get on the newsletter by going to sands.org. And if you have trouble, you can find a way to contact them and ask to be put on the newsletter. Their newsletter is a twice-weekly newsletter released on Tuesdays and Fridays. And in most cases, the network will try and release the Tuesday issue either Wednesday or Thursday, and the Friday issue either Saturday or Sunday, or Monday at the latest. I'm Jared Reimer, and I'm happy to provide this as a service to you. If you found it of value, please feel free to send an email and say so. And if you are interested in donating, you may visit my website at jaredreimer.net and find the donations link. Yes, I know, some of the clearing of the throat or the coughing can probably be edited, but I'm doing the best I can. And I will do my best to edit these more closely in the future. I hope that you enjoyed the program as much as I am bringing it to you. We'll be back with another episode next time. So long, everybody. Thanks for listening.